Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, today we're going to be chatting about animals and a particular type of animal, the furry feline, the cat. My guest this afternoon is Carolyn Bartz. Her book is called The Secrets of Cat Attitude Revealed. And on the cover of her book is a beautiful, beautiful Russian blue, I believe it is. And it's just an absolutely gorgeous cat. Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna, for letting me share my passion with your listeners.
Well, it's my delight. Now, you obviously have a tremendous love for cats, as I know many of our listeners do. And you decided you were going to put this book together. Why was it so important to you that you address the various issues that you have in here? By the way, your photographs of your Russian blues are just amazing because they're such a unique color. They're not really a blue, but they are an interesting tone. It's a gray. It's a gray tone.
They're silver tipped. Yes, they're silver tipped with the green eyes. Yeah. Me too. The little cover you exclaimed about the cover of the book. She ended her journey with me late September last year, so I'm down to the two boys. But she, in fact, told me to write the book.
Ah, now, that's something that I want to bring up, is that you have been an animal communicator, which is something that a lot of people don't necessarily accept, but I have been around animals for a number of years, and so I do know that there is a knack and there's an ability of communication between people and animals. How did you, Carolyn, discover that you had this knack, especially with cats?
Well, I think it's just the bonding and relationship that I had with, you know, they're more than a hobby to me. So I watched them. I observed. I could tell. I knew what they were trying to tell me when they were trying to tell me because I took an interest. Now, I will say this, that if your cat's going to go outside for 8 hours and, you know, you work and you come home, you're probably not going to get the same bonding. But I do spend a little bit of time. I tried to play with them a few minutes when I was, you know, working and everything. But they got to, you know me, and I knew them. And when I was looking for to work at home, I thought, what do I have to offer people to help them solve problems? And me too, who was still with me at the time, she walked by, and she more or less, I could tell, she was saying, me and my two brothers will help you write a book that people need to know about a few things, you know. So that's how the book came to be.
All right, you have a comment in here that I really enjoyed. Actually, you said your household has personality times three, and each one of them are quite individual in their expression, which I think anybody who has ever had animals will find that very much to be the case. Cats are a very unique in and of themselves, and they are very, very territorial, and that's not a big surprise because in the wild they're territorial. But they really are known for their independence and for their games of manipulation. But one of the points that you bring out is that they say that they're loved in spite of being superior to humans, which tickles me. Changes the mind in a second. Will always leave a few hairs on your couch or clothes. Will roll around in the warm laundry after it comes out of the dryer. Gets up close and personal to your computer so you can't see to get anything done. Stay under the bed, and it is, in your opinion, the only species able to look you in the eye and not blink to periodically demanding and will leave a mouse at your doorstep. And I can swear to that because I had a cat once that she left not one, but she'd go out hunting and she'd always make sure that I knew that they were at the back door because she thought that was her job to take care of the rodents in the neighborhood. And she did a very good job at that.
My cats are indoors, but I'll tell you what, they don't lose that hunting instinct.
Oh, never.
They
never.
Still have it, even though my cats are just indoors. But, yeah, you give them a mouse to play with, and they'll just go crazy, you know.
Yes, they really enjoy it. Now, when you put this together, you said you really, and I've got the book right in front of me right now, you talk a little bit about your experience of bringing in a kitten from the Humane Society.
Yeah.
And the kitten was 2 months old, and people, when they want to bring animals into a space where there are older cats, but we're especially talking about cats, what is the advice and counsel that you would give to someone that is wanting to bring in a newbie?
You know, I had a lot of advice given to me at the time because it was new for me, but I learned something. I learned this, that to isolate, and you have to separate the newcomer for a little bit before the resident's cats. But what I found out is that the advice I was getting was to take the baby and, you know, keep it in my bedroom with me and just so that the resident cats would know that I accepted it and that would, you know, psychologically, it didn't work for me. Here's what I found out. Keep your resident animals without disturbing them as much as you can. And let the newcomer wants to be accepted, and they will. Now, I'm not at the point where they're thrown together yet, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I say when you keep them apart, I was trying to keep the baby with me at all times because somebody suggested that. I found that, no, leave the resident cats with you. Keep them as normal routine as you can. And then, you know, when the time comes when you introduce them, get a couple drinks in your hand and go sit in the corner and watch them. But, little humor there, but, no. Your resident cats or dog or whatever you got over there in your household, keep them keep their routine as much as possible without disturbing them. So what I really had to do was let Blue and Me2 come back in the bedroom and sleep with me and put the baby in its isolated room because that's what the way it was at the time. And it was happier. Otherwise, I got, you know, two cats crying outside the door, and they want to know why the big, you know, what did they do wrong?
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds as if your cats were able to adapt, and I know there's a difference when you have a baby to when you have an older cat. Like, there's many people that enjoy adopting. They like to rescue them, and there is a big adjustment. Sometimes animals have been traumatized, but you had a two-month-old, so being in an environment with the two older Blues, that's something that they probably were able to adjust fairly well because they were going to be the caretaker, but they'd have to put up with all the antics of a baby, and
well,
I know that sometimes can be a big challenge.
They were 7.5 years difference in their ages, you know. The baby was, you know, Blue and Me2 were 7.5 at the time, so it was kind of a big adjustment, but, you know, the baby is the easiest to introduce than if I was to have brought in another 7.5-year-old, let's say. So the baby was, you know, and I will always rescue from now on. It felt good to do that.
Oh, I agree. I think these rescue services are just terrific, and the Humane Society offers such wonderful assistance to anybody, and they make sure that the animals get their shots. So it's a great place to go. And sadly, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but there are so many animals that are abandoned, and especially baby kittens. And I mean, I've been at the supermarket where people have had boxes, and they're just loaded with baby kittens, and they're giving them away to just anybody that wants to have them. They don't even charge for them, but you never know how healthy they are. So when you go through a rescue group or through the Humane Society, it is really, really a good thing. Now, let's talk about the males. Now, the Russian blues, do they have particular personality traits that come with them? Because I know different species of cat do. That's been my understanding. They'll have certain, like your Siamese, they have a way of talking. Your blues are of that dispositioning. They're usually quite good conversationalists.
The blues are shyer. My two boys are shyer. The girl, little Me Too, she was the friendliest. She didn't care if I had company or not. Now, my two boys, for whatever reason, they've never been, I've never allowed anybody in the door that's going to abuse them, you know, but they, you know, one will go into the bed, he won't come out, and, but Me Too's brother, Blue, he will eventually come out and greet the company, but the boys seem to take a little bit of a shy tone, but the girl was just right up there. She didn't care. She trusted everybody. She was friendly, friendly, friendly.
We just recently had this big issue about food from China, and so many animals, cats and dogs, got very, very sick.
Right.
Now, with yours, do you prepare their food or do you serve them canned food? And what do you check for? Because I know that the blues can be pretty sensitive dietarily, as any animal can be for that matter. But how did you determine the right kind of diet for your blues and what works best for them?
Well, I did some research for some different foods that, and my vet actually commended me for doing that. I sailed through the recalls because I was using a low-carb USDA type choice food. But I just want to tell the listeners out there that, you know, cats need more protein than a dog because they're carnivores. And the first item on the package label should be meat. That should be number one. Poultry fats are okay, you know, and the word meal can be on there in, if it's in relation to turkey, lamb, fish, and chicken. But, you know, you need to stay away from the wheat, the soy, and the flour because the wheat gluten, you know, that was that elastic component that was in our foods as a filler and protein substitute. That's when things got really deadly for our pets. And I tell you, another scary word is byproducts.
Mm-hmm.
If you got that, you know, drop the bag and run because that's got anywhere from beaks and feet and feathers and hair and drugs even. Pretty scary, you know. And if your cat didn't have an allergy before, it might pick up one, you know. If the brand name has the word natural in it, that doesn't mean that it's all natural in the package. And organic is pretty good. What the back of the stamp should be on the label is the AAFCO, and that's the American Animal Food Control officials, and they set the standard. It's kind of interesting, but you know your borderline. One of my cats is a borderline diabetic. The little rescue guy. He has to be on low carbs. So I've taken it that, you know, really low carbs have got my cats healthier than ever.
Now, you wouldn't think that carbs would have that much of an effect on cats because cats typically, in my experience, are sort of fussy about what they eat. So would you say that the carbs in the food then would come from byproducts and from wheat?
No, some of them come from plants, and they need a little bit of that. They need it for their digestive tract and stuff. But so you don't want to, you know, you won't ever find it completely without carbs, and they do need a little bit. But there's a lot of foods, and the technology is great nowadays, Donna. There are a lot of foods out there now with low carb. And too much carbs for a carnivore can lead to some other, liver problems and stuff. But I want to tell you something real interesting, a little tidbit that I found out that was kind of funny. Scientific theory explains why maybe the cat is so finicky. The cat is the only mammal that lacks the two proteins needed for the sweet receptor, and the cat is missing one of them, and it's the only mammal that does. So the cat cannot taste sweet.
Interesting.
So I thought that was kind of, you know, they're calling it a mutant gene as to why the cats can't taste sweets. But they think that, but you know, when the cat is finicky, leads me to some other things here. First of all, they have to find out if the cat has a medical problem, because Me Too, my little girl, who was, she was anatomically incorrect in her respiratory, which led to some terminal things for her, but she couldn't smell things a lot. So when they can't smell it, they won't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to work with that, and although she had a good, they would tell me she has a good heart, she'd probably outlive me, and, you know, she was very healthy, had wonderful food, but her, you know, she was born with that particular condition, but the foods I always fed them were A top, you know, top stuff. But again, if a cat's not eating their food, if they give you that look and that walk away, showy display type of thing, it could mean that they're either just being real fussy for the day, they might eat it tomorrow. But again, you know, anything medical has to be ruled out, because, you know, like I say, I did have a medical problem, and but the two boys didn't, and so it's something to kind of observe. And we say cats are finicky, but if they can't smell it, they will not eat it. They just will not.
Now, Nikolai is one of your boys, and he has just got an incredibly gorgeous face on him. He's just a beautiful, beautiful cat. When you got him, he had apparently some problems that you discovered, and it was with the liver and the pancreas, which is not unusual, and it had evolved because of his dietary needs. And in today's world, we have an awareness that animals, just like we humans, have individual needs and different requirements. And that was something that after you'd had him for about a month, his coat improved, he got a lot better, and he just ended up being an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous cat.
He is a pretty boy.
And
but,
so with what you have said, and he ended up being a good-sized cat. I mean, he was 15 pounds.
He's about 16 now.
Mm-hmm. So these are good-sized cats. Now, a lot of people might consider them normal, but every breed, there is a difference. And some are going to have a stronger, stockier build to them, and others are going to be very lean and very trim.
The purebred Russian Blues are very light. They're between 6 and 8 pounds. It's Nikolai who had the mother Russian Blue. We do not know the father. It probably was a panther, as far as I know, but Blue and Me Too are very lightweight. That's why when I rescued Nikolai, I thought, oh, well, that's a small cat I'll be able to, handle and take care of. I did not know he was going to grow so big, but I think the pancreas and liver, you know, when you're having problems with it, you sort of get a bloating. And I attribute his weight to a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's on a low carb. He's borderline diabetic, so we're on low carbs over here.
Well, and that's something that, amazingly, many, many animals are getting. It's not unlike what's happening with a lot of people in the United States. There are many animals that are being diagnosed as diabetics, and, of course, there's just all kinds of things that have to be contended with that. Now, you went into a little bit in history, Egyptian history, in your book, which is The Secrets of Cat Attitudes Revealed. And you primarily did focus on cats, the attitudes, the experiences that you've had with them. Where did the myth of nine lives come from? Because that's something just about everybody passes along. Cat has nine lives, always lands on its feet.
Yeah, you know, that started back in the 13th century. That was back when the church was trying to find a scapegoat for their paganistic beliefs, is to blame, they wanted to blame something for the ills of the world, the crimes, the misfortune. And this was set up, you know, for the infamous witch hunts. It was thought that the witch was the female, and she had a cat, usually black, not always, but usually black. And it was believed through her magic powers that her and the cat, that she could change into a cat nine times. But the cat could also change into her, and that's why it was called a familiar. They were sort of a back and forth entity. And, you know, when the witch was burned at the stake, the cat was burned too, because they thought if the cat lived, they could carry on the magic.
Oh, brother.
So it was kind of a holocaust for cats, I'll tell you that.
It's amazing what we human beings come up with out of superstition and ignorance. You bring up an item that I found quite interesting, and that was if you want to keep cats away from plants, because there are certain plants that cats might be attracted to because of the smell or just because they're cats. They just want to chew on something. Shredded.
Right.
So you recommend using aluminum foil. Now, how
did you find out
about that?
I did. When I got the little babies, you know, they want to climb up everything, and I had some pretty tall plants in my house, and the plants I had were okay. It's just that I didn't want them ruined either. So I wrapped my plant stalks around with aluminum foil, and they avoided it until they were after that kitten stage, and then I could take the aluminum foil off. But cats don't like citrus smells either, and I use that a lot to keep them away from certain things for their kitteny times, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is something that I know you have a very strong attitude about. You feel like, one, if your cats are kept as indoor cats, that there's a much stronger bond that you have. But I've known of people who have had cats that really have designed their homes. In fact, I know of a lady in Oregon. She's a rescuer of cats, and she has 75 cats, which just absolutely blew me away. But her house, she had it remodeled so that she could have runs, and she had kitty boxes and everything else. I mean, it was just a house that was totally designed for cats and for their pleasure. And from what I understand, it is, one, kept immaculate, but two, it is just an amazing experience to walk in through the front door and see all of these highways that she has developed, and they just have the time of their lives. But 75 cats, I just couldn't fathom that. But she's happy. This is what she does. And she tries to find them homes. Now, I know you're not of that disposition yourself, but she really has gone all out for these animals that she has a passion for. They are her life. This is the work that she feels that she's been, you know, meant to do. And with cats, they really need to have things like that because they're such curious creatures. They're so intelligent. So if you're going to have an indoor cat, not everybody's going to want to have the freeway systems for cats running throughout their house.
Yeah, you know, Donna, cats do want to go up all the time. They want to go up and view their territory, you know. I was going to put in a bunch of runners in one of the rooms and actually take out some walls. They got a lot of places, you know, don't get me wrong. They got a lot of places to go over here, but the reason I did not put up any more runners and you know, what do you want to call those things? Things across the ceiling for them is because, Donna, when you got to go take them to the vet and they get up there, you can't get them. And we went by myself. I said, you know, I have to be able to get them. You know, I decided not to build all that, but we got enough high places over here for me, you know, but I thought I shouldn't add to it. But, you know, I would just love to do it. I mean, my heart was in that.
How do you feel that cats have one up on people?
Well, they have a lot up on us because, you know, they have their senses are 7 times greater than ours. And, you know, I don't know why we're so surprised when cats act to that degree. You know, you can tell the weather just about by if the cat's scratching or a dog too. And they do, but you know, they got one up on us because they can tell, they can sense things. They are almost psychic. They're very subjective. And, you know, we should rely on that. We should count on it. I do.
What is the most telepathic experience you've ever had with your cats?
Well, telepathic. You know, I will tell you this, Donna. Me too came to see me one night.
Was this after she passed?
Yes.
Okay.
All 3 cats would usually get up on the bed with me at night, and, you know, maybe I'd read a chapter or two in the book and just settle down with them. It was just kind of our time together, and she would always sit at my feet. I don't know why she did it, but she sat on my foot. And, it was a couple months since she had passed. I really miss her really bad. But anyway, I had turned the lights out. We were going to bed now. And I felt something on my foot. My foot was being weighed down. And I thought maybe Blue or Nikolai had moved. And so I sat myself up and no, everybody was where they were supposed to be. But I saw the bed clothes, my foot was still down, and it looked like there was an impression on my bedspread, as it were, and all of a sudden, my foot came up again, and the impression was gone. Now, I think my mouth was open, and I didn't know what to think, but Blue and Nikolai did not move. I don't know whether they knew she might have been there, but I know, I feel that she came to see me. I just have that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yes, most people do. There's been some fascinating experiences I know that I've had with animals telepathically and psychically, as well as some other people that I know. That's why I wanted to ask you the question. Now, I know we're almost out of time, Carolyn. Your book, Secrets of Cat Attitude Revealed, that is actually the name of your website. Can people find when they go to your website?
What will they find?
Yes.
I do have some videos of my cats playing there. They can get a hold of me, and they can even ask me a question. If they do purchase my book and they want more from me, they can ask me. They can email me and ask me a question. I'm available. The site isn't completely done, so I don't want to tell you everything I should have. You should be able to put your name in there and stuff and contact me. You can always email me. I have some little videos on there for them.
All right. So it's Secrets of Cat Attitude Revealed. Carolyn Bartz has been my guest. Carolyn, what comment would you like to leave with my audience today before we close out our conversation?
I want to tell you that you can benefit by being a cat owner. You will reduce stress. The primal purr of a cat can lower your blood pressure and even has been known to heal bones.
Known to heal bones because of the vibrational frequency of the purr is what
Yes.
you're referring to. Well, this is Donna Siebel, again my guest, Carolyn Bartz. If you're a cat lover, you might enjoy her book, Secrets of Cat Attitude Revealed. And her Russian Blues are just gorgeous, gorgeous cats. And I'm sorry to hear that Me Too has gone on to a new experience, but there's those 2 beautiful boys, like you said, that you have that are there with you. This is Donna Siebel. We're taking a break.
Thank
Don't
you.
Away. You're very welcome, Carolyn. They're going to be coming back in just a moment, so don't go away. We will be right back.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. If you're a new listener to the Donna Sebo Show, you are welcome to call in. I'm happy to do a free reading for you on the air. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. So again, for the U.S., 877-876-5227. Also for Canadians, 888-815-9756. And then 530-876-3222. I also want to make the announcement that on June the 9th, I'm going to be doing a live broadcast with REM-FM Radio in Spain, and I invite you to join us to listen in if you so desire. This is one of the largest English-speaking stations in Europe. They have invited me to do an interview with them, and I'm going to be doing this. This is the second time I did a show with them just last week, and they were really excited about the whole thing, so they've extended another invitation to me. And that will be at 5:20 a.m. Pacific time. Yes, it's going to be early, but for those of you in Central, that would be 7:20 a.m. And for those of you on the East Coast, 8:20 a.m. And that will be on rem.fm.com. And that's the website. And they also will have a copy of that on the website as well of the show that I did recently. Okay. You've got an automobile. You have been eyeballing a brand new one, but you want to sell the one you've got. Now, I came across this information, and I thought it would be good to share. I have a very dear friend who got herself a brand new car and was thrilled with it, and the vehicle she had, she said, I don't want to use a dealer. I want to be able to sell this on my own. And so she was able to do so, and she did a very good job of handling the whole thing. And I thought, that's a pretty good item to share with you on the air, because when you do have a vehicle, often if you're able to sell it on your own, you will have more cash in your pocket rather than doing a trade-in. But you have to look at what is going to work best for you. I've been on both sides of the fence, and there was a time when being able to make a trade or a trade-in with my vehicle for a new one with a dealer was optimum. And there was another situation where it was best selling it privately. So you need to really make your evaluations, what is going to work best for you. Now, there's, you know, the idea of money. When you work with a dealer, usually you'll get about $1,500 less when you trade in your vehicle than you would by selling your vehicle to a private owner. Now, Ernesto de Aguilar, who is a spokesman for the Kelley Blue Book, said there are some things that you need to be aware of if you want to sell on your own. And believe me, all of this is very, very important. Be sure when you're ready to sell your car, you want it to be sparkling. You want to have it look good and you want it to be running well. They're naturally going to get a higher price and sell a lot faster than those that are dumpy looking. You want to have your entire vehicle detailed, including the engine compartment. And your auto detailers, they don't charge you that much for doing that. It's about $100 to $150. And if you have repairs that need to be done, fix them. Take care of them. Replacing a $1,500 air conditioner compressor on a car that's valued at $15,000 is a good idea. If you have a $3,500 engine rebuild on a $2,500 car, well, you may not want to do that. But the choice is going to be yours. And here, it's just really good sense. Also, you want to, when you're ready to sell, you want to not only have the car in very good condition and also just sparkling. You now, because of the Internet, you've got a lot of choices about marketing your vehicle. In fact, there may be an opportunity that someone outside your local area might be interested in it. Let's say you had a classic Corvette, a Cadillac, a 380Z. There are people out there that they are looking for those specific kind of vehicles. So whether you advertise online or just locally, you want to have good quality photos with your ad. You want to be sure that when you take that photo that you don't have shadowy environment around it, and you want to park your vehicle against a backdrop that's going to be flattering to your car. Now, there's all kinds of websites that people can utilize if you're a buyer wanting to buy. You can go to the Kelley Blue Book site, which is KBB.com, and the National Automobile Dealers Association, which is the NADAGuides.com. And what they do, they give you information about Blue Book values and asking prices on cars. And if you're a seller, then you'll find out what the going market price is. And you need to be honest about your car's condition. And there have been apparently some lawsuits. Buyers have won the lawsuits by proving that the seller knowingly lied. So if it's been in a flood, something like that, be sure you tell the truth about whatever's done. Also, people are buying a lot of used vehicles online through vehicle options. And you need to be sure that you, as a driver, request a test drive. And whatever you do, if you are the seller, when someone comes to you and says, gee, I'd like to test drive your car, don't just give them your keys. You might never see them again. You always want to get a driver's license and proof of insurance before you let anybody do a test drive. You go to a dealer, they demand that of you anyway. So just keep that in mind. You want to be sure that you have the person's name, address, and phone number, and you do not let them drive your vehicle without you or someone that you know and trust driving with them. And you always want to be sure that you let people know when you are going to be giving someone a test drive. Now, buyers may want to take your car to a mechanic. That happened to me, and that's okay. You want to have a pre-purchase inspection. The buyer will typically pay for that, and it makes sense. It's a good idea. But you want to be sure that you have a mechanic that this car goes to, not the friend, not the buyer's best buddy. You want to have a mechanic that's a reputable mechanic. And sometimes dealers, that's what I did. I had a dealer mechanic that I knew, and I took the car on site, and for a fee, they charged like $30, and they gave an inspection of the vehicle, and that person that was buying my car got a written report. So that way, they knew that what I was charging them for the vehicle was a fair price, and they couldn't haggle with me over it. So that was very important. And you might want to take it like to a AAA-approved auto repair shop. By the way, it is a good idea if you're a seller. Have your car inspected before you put it up for sale. The report you have could help negotiate the best price for you. Also, a vehicle history report from Carfax Carfax.com could assure a buyer that your car hasn't been in a serious accident or had the odometer rolled back. I've known some people that have gotten vehicles that that's happened. Also, when it's time to complete the transaction, you want to get your payment in cash, because even a cashier's check can be forged or even canceled before it clears. If someone is wanting to write you a check and there's no other way they're going to do it, they want it for their own records for whatever reason, then you can have one request fulfilled, and that is that the check be drawn from a local bank or one with a branch that you can visit to verify and be sure that those funds are in the bank and the check will clear. So you can always go to the Attorney General's office if you want, unless if you don't trust somebody, just go there, check things out. They'll give you all the information that you need. So don't part with your vehicle on a partial payment. Make sure you get 100% of the cash. And something that we did with one of our vehicles when we sold it, there was a statement that we had the buyer, sign. And that was that they took the car as is. And it was an older vehicle, and they did, and it was cash, and there was no problem. And my goodness, the next time we saw that car, we were stunned. It was just absolutely spit and polish. This person just loved the vehicle. Again, it was a classic vehicle. And they just said, this is terrific, and they took better care of it than we did. It was just absolutely amazing. Oh, another tip. Do not accept payment via wired funds. Don't do that either. These are just cautions, so cash is your best. And once you've received your payment, obviously you can release liability and transfer ownership, and there are specific guidelines depending on what state you are in. Just go to your own state department of licensing, and they will tell you exactly what you need to do. But this is a good time of the year to sell a vehicle, because people are out and about, and they're looking, and hey, if you've got that special vehicle, sometimes putting a sign in the vehicle that the car is for sale, there's all kinds of things you can do. I find a nickel saver is really a good way to advertise, and I'm always astonished. There are people out there looking all the time. And take a look at some of the car prices, a brand new car. A lot of people feel good about buying a used car, even if they do have to put a little bit of money in for repairs or maybe putting in new upholstery or something like that. Lots of times there are older vehicles that they like because they know that they can fix them. So just keep that in mind. You have your options, but it's a great time to get the vehicle ready. And just know all of that tender, loving care that you give your vehicle is going to pay off handsomely. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break. And just a couple of minutes before we do, I want to let you know about some guests that we've got coming up. We've got a wonderful lineup here. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Mark Nepple, Facing the Lion, Being the Lion. And then we're going to get into some ecology, trash talk. Lillian Brummett is going to be my guest. This is something that she has been very much involved and dedicated to, making our planet a better place, and we're going to be talking over those details. And then we'll be talking with Richard Fuller, his book, All Rise. Most of the guests that I have on the air really have a passion about making life better, and that's what makes it such a pleasure to be able to interact with them and share with you the information and knowledge that they have, because so often we can gain different perspectives that allow us to look at things maybe differently than we had ever thought we could. And when we do that, that expands our thinking, it expands our world, it makes us aware that there are options that we can deal with it, whether it's our health, whether it's buying or selling a car, a home, whether it is traveling to another part of the world. There are so many different options that we can consider, and that's what I really enjoy about doing this show. And I hope you enjoyed as well. And by the way, if you have a comment, if you have questions, don't hesitate to send me an email. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's DelphiInternational.com. I'm always interested in what you have to say and any suggestions for guests, et cetera, that you might have. The lineup is full, and my goodness, we've already got people getting booked in for the month of June. So there's always an abundance of good people doing good things. And you need to remember that. Don't ever forget that. There are lots of good people in this world. We just need to make sure you know about them. And that's what we do here on the Donna Sebo Show. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or Canadian 888-815-9756. I wanted to share with you a story about some people that decided they were going to go the extra mile in their community and do something a little bit different. And it was a couple of gals. Well, actually, it's a woman by the name of Carolyn. She had a beauty shop. And it was a Saturday, and she decided that she was going to do some complimentary haircuts for women from a women's shelter. And these women she had found were out to get fixed up, you might say, by the people at the shelter. They were looking for people that would assist these women because they were going to go out to try to find a job. These women had gone through some very, very difficult circumstances in their life, and they were wanting to pull their lives together. So there's nothing that makes a woman feel more together than having her hair done and her nails done, and it's just that feel good. And you, when you look good, you're going to do good in your life. It's just one of those psychological things. It's just a reality. Well, Carolyn was a little bit discouraged because this was a Saturday. And it could be one of her busiest days, and she had made arrangements for these women to come in early. Well, guess what? Nobody was showing up. So she was a little bit perturbed, and she said, I really would have liked to have been off with my kids. In fact, her kids, because normally they spend Saturdays together doing certain things, she requested of them to come into the shop to help her, because she thought this is going to be a good thing for them to be able to see other people and to deal with other people that are not as fortunate as we are. So she was responding the way most of us would respond when somebody's late. We're going, oh, what's the matter with this person? Can't they be on time? Don't they realize how valuable my time is? All these kind of thoughts running through her head. And her daughter, teenager, saying, Mom, you know what? We are just not going to get things done, and we do need to go to the mall, Mom, because I need to get my shoes. And then the brother, the teenage brother, popped in and said, yeah, and where are we supposed to go to the movies? So things weren't going too well in the beauty shop. However, all of a sudden, this white van pulls up. didn't look too good. It was sort of battered up. And on the side of the van, there was a banner sign saying, "My Sister's Place." And seven women climbed out of this van. And the first thing that she noticed was they all shuffled when they walked. And she had never seen the likes of these seven women in her entire life. Their hair, she said, they each and every one presented a challenge of challenges that a beauty shop would just see coming and would groan about. Well, as it turned out, there was a woman that was with them, the director of this My Sister's Place, and said, "I'm so sorry we're late. We ended up getting lost. We didn't get our directions right." And then Carolyn was surprised that there were so many of them. There were seven that had to be taken care of. I mean, they had bad color, the shape of their hair, limp, grimy hair. I mean, it was just unbelievable what she was looking at. You can imagine how well that set. Well, the director took her to the side and said, "Carolyn, we took in four new guests last night. Some of these women have job interviews on Monday. Whatever you possibly can do." So she just had a big sigh inside. She said, "All right, let's see what we can handle." Well, there was one woman, she said, that had more hair than she'd ever seen. It was masses and masses of unruly brown hair. Another one had black roots growing under hair that was a bright, bright orange. And it looked more like, her hair looked more like a Halloween wig than hair. And she said, then there was this tiny, tiny woman that had the most beautiful green eyes, and it looked like she had never, ever brushed her hair. So Carolyn looked to her daughter and said, "Now, why don't you get started with the redhead? I'll start over here with a brunette." She said, "Okay." So she puts a smock on the first lady, and this lady was looking at herself in the mirror, and she said, "I want to thank you, ma'am. It's been a long time since I've worn one of these." Well, that touched Carolyn very much. And she said, "Call me Carolyn. Now let's see what we can do for you." Well, they got busy. Her daughter ended up laughing and chatting with the woman that she was taking care of. Carolyn got busy. She got busy with the scissors. She got busy with shampooing. She got busy with everything that she needed to do and moved quickly. One of the women she worked with that had the terrible color job, and she said the redhead found that her hair could be straightened out. Her son ended up getting involved with some of the children of the women that had come along. And then her daughter, halfway through doing what they were doing with these seven women, her daughter came over to her and said, "Mom, you should hear what some of these women have been through. One lady doesn't have a place to live. And if she gets an interview at Burger King, she figures she can get a job. Then she'll be able to get an apartment and get back on her feet." She said, "These women, it's important we help them out, Mom." Well, the whole atmosphere in Carolyn's shop was just amazing. Carolyn, her daughter, and her son had a whole different attitude about all of these women. The more they found out about them, the more they felt that what they were doing was really, really valuable. Each and every one of the women, after they were finished, felt like they were beautiful. They couldn't believe that they looked as pretty as they did. Chelsea came to her mother and said, "Mom, I'm so glad we did this. This was so much better than spending a day at the mall." Now, all three of them, because the day was totally shot, they worked until, you know, the late evening hours, getting all of these ladies taken care of. But the one thing that Carolyn said that was so important was, one, that she, her daughter, and her son worked together as a family to help people go out to meet the world so that they could have a better life. And she said, "It was one of the most rewarding days I've ever spent." One person makes a difference, and when that is compounded and multiplied, it's amazing what the results can be. And you never know, whether you're a hairdresser, a bus driver, or CEO of a Fortune 500 company, what you do, it can make a difference. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place. This is Donna Sebo here. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.